Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Dr. Nasiba Katrada, part of the COVID home management team. A very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am very good, thank you. So this is obviously considered a victory.
Yes, definitely a big victory for us, because one of the reasons we wanted ivermectin to be part of the arsenal is that we wanted to add it on to our treatment protocol. And now that we have it and it can be done on a prescribed basis, for us it's a huge victory.
Absolutely. So, and the whole point is that surely, and we've been saying this all along, that the doctors should have been freed, their hands untied, to be able to use it if they felt it was the appropriate medication for their patients.
Yes, definitely. And it is still a drug that has been defined as a treatment for COVID-19 across the world. So everything that is being used at the moment is being used off-label. So now we've got one more thing that we can add to our arsenal to use it in COVID-19. It's still a bit difficult in South Africa, but a huge victory for us, because compounding pharmacies can now give it to a doctor on a prescription basis. And if you're working for bulk stock for a hospital, you can get that using the Section 21.
Mm. And have they worked out, or have you worked out the dosages? Because as far as I was, everything that I knew, the one thing that was still slightly problematic is to work out how much people should be using, either as a prophylaxis or for treatment.
Well, as you are aware, there are extensive studies being done all over the world, and there are trials being done. So we've had some really good reviews done specifically on dosages. In fact, we've got a great team here in South Africa. Recently, Professor Colleen Aldis,
We've chatted to her a number of times. Absolutely.
Yes, they've done literally an analysis of just the dosages that were used in the trial. And now they've done a split, and we were chatting yesterday, where they've done an analysis of dosages that were used in treatment trials, and they've done an analysis on dosages that were done in prophylaxis trials. So when a doctor or a patient asked us, of course we don't have the answer, and nothing is a silver bullet.
Absolutely.
But we can give them a good idea. And now that we are going to be able to be using it freely, we also can discuss amongst each other. This is the dosage I'm using. This is what I'm using. And it makes a
right,
difference.
Right, exactly. It becomes something that people can learn from on the ground, actually, in the front lines. Do you foresee this, especially given the slow vaccine rollout, do you foresee ivermectin being sent or being used by some of the hospitals?
Yes, definitely. In fact, in not just the hospitals, we're looking at it for prophylactic as well. Like you said, vaccine rollout is happening really slowly. It's going to take at least another year and a half, everybody to get their vaccines. And in the meantime, we know that we've got something for treatment and something for prophylaxis. But our concern now is the amount of stock that we have, and also educating the public and fellow doctors about the dosages for the doctors, and to tell the public to stop taking ivermectin off the black market. Because when they're taking it from the black market, they themselves are dosing what they think or what a friend has told them, this is what works. Now that a doctor has control back, we can actually tell the patient, you know, ivermectin is weight-based. At early treatment, you take it at this dose. In mild, moderate, severe, you take it at this dose. So now that we have control back, it's going to make a huge difference. So I'm doing lots of interviews. Professor Colleen is doing interviews.
Just to get the information out there. Yeah, because it's interesting. I read an article as well that said that a lot of the ivermectin, and you'll know the exact amount, but a fair number of the ivermectin that was being sold on the black market wasn't even pure ivermectin. It was mixed with something else, which is deeply problematic if people are on other medications or have other conditions.
Yeah, but just to correct back, the study that was done, yes, the ivermectin was not pure. But the other things that were added on were like naproxen, ibuprofen, 5-cyclo.
Yes, yes.
So basically, it's stuff that was used. The problem that we have with the black market is it's actually cheaper to make a real ivermectin tablet than to make a fake one. So it's not the problem about ivermectin because it's so cheap. The problem is that the dosage was incorrect. And then you have people saying, oh, I took ivermectin, it didn't work for me. But the thing is, it's not that it didn't work for you. If you are 100 kilos, you cannot take 12 milligrams.
Right,
and you cannot take 12 milligrams on day 1 and day 3 and then hope you're going to get cover. It doesn't work like that. So that's why we're trying to say, you know, we need to have control back, because it's more complicated than just popping a Panado.
And the idea now, I would imagine, is to educate frontline doctors, GPs, so that they can advise their patients in terms of dosage for prophylaxis and for treatment.
100%. But you must remember, it's not only educating them about dosages. Right now, there's a lot of confusion about where to get the ivermectin. So, like, you know, the Section 21 application, the bulk application, how to get it from a compounding pharmacy. Some doctors have never used a compounding pharmacy before. Which compounding pharmacy actually have the stock? You know, how to do it on a prescription basis, how to do a Section 21 bulk application. There's a lot of educating that has to go aside from just the dosage protocol.
So is it still quite difficult for doctors to prescribe and to use? You know, they're obviously not going to write me a script and I go pop down to my local Dis-Chem and get my ivermectin. It's got to be done through a different channel. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but actually, hopefully in the next week or so, we're going to try and make it that simple. I'm actually meeting with one of the companies today. I'm actually boarding a flight to Cape Town as I'm talking to you.
Right.
And I'm actually meeting with somebody today regarding that, because we want to get the message out there. And if the Section 21 bulk application can be given to a dispensing doctor or to a pharmacy, you need to start getting the word out there to tell our local pharmacies, please just do one application, get it from this company, keep the stock, so then all your local doctors can now script it exactly like you said, exactly how they were doing it.
In other words, right.
The legal channel.
Right. In other words, it doesn't need to be an application per person. The distributor.
No more.
Right. Okay. So that's the distinction which I wasn't quite getting. In other words,
yeah.
A distributor, a pharmacy, or a doctor can make an application and get a decent amount of it, which they can then distribute. They don't need to make an application per patient.
No, definitely not.
Ah, okay. So that's the game changer here.
There was actually something bigger that happened in the order that the judge took. And if you look at point 1 to 6, the judge also said that he instructed SAHPRA to now give us, he wanted SAHPRA to give the judge every 3 months, SAHPRA has to tell him what is going on with ivermectin, how many people have used it, how the results have been, any side effects. And he also made an order of the court that any person or doctor that has difficulties accessing ivermectin through the channels that SAHPRA has now said that they've allowed, they must make a notice of motion to the court, and the specific judge will hear every single case, because he deemed this as an important matter. And if they're saying it must be available and accessible, they must make it available and accessible. And he's now made SAHPRA accountable for that. And for us, that is huge. Because now we can collect data. We know that it's not just lip service. If they said they're going to do it, they must do it.
Does SAHPRA accept the fact that they've been maybe too slow or too conservative around ivermectin?
Well, not really. You know, recently there was a tweet that they said SABC must withdraw the erroneous comment again. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't understand why they would rather, wrap them on the knuckles as opposed to educating. We're having the discussion. I'm explaining things to you. We're getting the knowledge out of you. If somebody says SAHPRA has now allowed ivermectin use for COVID-19, that's incorrect. But the thing is, we need to say now COVID, there isn't a single drug that can be used for COVID-19 on label. Everything is off label. Now SAHPRA has allowed it as off label use. Why don't they make the distinction? They'll rather go out and say, oh, we didn't say that. Yeah, we know you didn't say that, but clarify what you said. It can be used in COVID-19, but it can be used off-label for COVID-19. And that's the difference. And we're trying to educate the public to say, yes, we're in a pandemic, and the only certain thing about this pandemic is its uncertainty.
Absolutely.
So if you
and as you've said, and I want to reiterate that in case anyone's just tuned in, you've made it very clear there's no silver bullet at this stage. This is not a silver bullet. It's just one of the options.
Correct. And every single thing that we're using, antibiotics, steroids, vitamin C, vitamin D, none of them are coded for use for COVID-19. Everything that is used off-label. So we're now glad that ivermectin has now been added to this. So when SABC announced that SAHPRA has now allowed ivermectin to be used for COVID-19, all they had to do was say, yes, we've allowed it, but off-label. No, they went and made a big rah-rah and said, no, we didn't say that. Our stance hasn't changed. But remember, initially they banned it. Then they said it can be used with the CCAP, which is the Compassionate Control Access Program. And now they're saying they adopted the same thing as the FDA, the US FDA, where they're now saying we are not for ivermectin and we are not against it. So a big step for us. They went from banning it to now not being against it. So that's
Absolutely. And that's where they should be, is neutral to it.
Correct.
We're in a pandemic. People are learning and doctors are learning as we go along in terms of this. Just untie people's hands and let them see if something does or doesn't work. Would you recommend, before I let you go and board your flight, would you recommend that our listeners chat to their GP and ask them about taking ivermectin as a prophylaxis?
Yeah, 100%. Also, what we found now with social media, everybody knows more than, in fact, their GP most of the time. And sometimes if you tell your GP, I'd like to take it, and the GP doesn't know about it, we welcome to get your GP to contact any one of us. You can find me on social media. You can find our group. I mean, it was easy. Many people contact me message me on the social media. Even if the doctor wants to know more, we're very helpful, happy to give information. In fact, Dr. Martin Gill has set up a website called ivermectin.africa.com. That's it, ivermectin.africa. You'll get all the information you need there. You can Google it. But if you want to know where to access it in South Africa, we're putting out posts. I'm doing some regularly. The more I have meetings, the more we know what's going on. I put it all out there because we're trying to spread the word. Get it, but get it legally and get it with the help of your doctor.
Absolutely right. I think very, very sensible advice. Dr. Nasiba Katrada, part of the COVID home management team. Thank you for speaking to us and just fly safe. Keep doing your good work.